TV.
Is it a lot easier to pray now after yesterday's show? Is it a lot easier to watch female drummers after yesterday's show? I hope so. As far as praying goes, Seth watched my show yesterday and he said, what really got to me was when you said we were on autopilot. And because the Spirit is doing all these things within us. It's fellowshipping with God. God is searching the hearts. It's aware what the disposition of the Spirit must be. Christ is in us. God is in us. It knows what the disposition of the Spirit is. So there's a communication going on inside of us between God and Christ and the Spirit of God, which is in us. It recognizes it. It's like a Bluetooth. It's a Bluetooth connection we have with God. It's wireless. It's very efficient. They're connected. So the God of the universe has connected like a Bluetooth with the Spirit of God inside of us, and it communicates. It has a line in the sky, as the song Radar Love goes, a line in the sky. And so this is operating, and it's searching the hearts. This is why we don't analyze ourselves. We don't have to search ourselves, search our motives, constantly wondering if we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. It's the Spirit of God lets us know that. Part of that would be the conscience. This is also a God-given gift that operates because of the Spirit. This is Martin Zender. That is not the moon back there. I don't know what it is. I think it's a security light. It might be the moon. It's kind of low. We'll see if it moves. If it moves, it's the moon. If it doesn't move, it's a security light. We'll keep that monitored for me because I'm gonna concentrate on this show. This is Martin Zender. It's great to be talking to you. As always, here we are at the end of the week. And some good news as I continue on in Romans here. I like these connecting words, the ands, the thus, the thats. And there's an important one here, and it's a that. I left off with you yesterday, Romans 8:28. Now, we are aware that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God, who are called according to the purpose, to the purpose that. And here's what purpose. Of course, it's God's purpose. And here is God's purpose, stated very plainly by an apostle who doesn't always state things plainly, but here he's doing it. Here's the purpose. And the interesting about this, as you listen to me list this purpose, is that none of it concerns, I mean, it concerns us, but none of it requires us. It's like this operation, once again, this Bluetooth connection between God and us. I have to read this again because I like this Bluetooth analogy. I just came up with this, but I like this. The Spirit is aiding our infirmity. For what we should be praying for to accord, that is to agree with what must be, because again, things that happen, they must happen because God programmed the whole thing, wrote the whole thing from start to finish before any of it started. Before any of it started, every single detail was lined up already. It was already in the books. That's why I told you that shocking thing yesterday, that the future is just as set in concrete as the past. So we're not aware. My God, it's too much for us to be aware of. How can we be aware of what must be? We know what was. We know what is. But what must be, we have no idea. So instead of trying to figure out what must be, we just relax. Because there's an operation inside of us that's doing all the thinking and all the praying for us. What we should be praying for to accord with what must be, we are not aware. In some circles, they're into like awareness. You must be aware at all times, aware, aware. Well, I'm aware of how much time I have left. I'm on my phone. I'm aware of my battery. I'm aware of how long the show's going. I'm aware that this light hasn't moved, which makes me think it's a security light. But other than that, I mean, I'm aware of some things, but we don't have to be uber aware. In fact, concerning what must be, we are not aware. But here's the good news. The Spirit itself is pleading for us. Pleading is not like, oh, I beg you, please. Oh, God, please do good, something good for me, Spirit. No, it's pleading in a courtroom sense. It's making a case. It's presenting a case. How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty? Holy Spirit, how do you plead? I plead for the sake of this person in whom I dwell. I plead for them to just shut up and let me be aware. Lay down your strain. Lay down your burden to figure everything out. Because we don't have to figure everything out. We know we must know essential teachings. I've talked about that. But as far as the details of life, what must be, we don't know, because the future has been mercifully withheld from us, apart from prophecy. But prophecy is the big thing. So we're talking about the details of your life. Whether or not you're going to get groceries tomorrow, whether or not you're going to get a red light or a green light at the corner of 17th and 4th Street. We don't know, so we don't worry about it. This is key to not worrying. Being not aware of what's happening next is the key to not worrying. This is why Jesus said, sufficient unto the day are the evils. This is concerning what is. We know what was, we know what is. But what must be, we have no idea. You can worry and worry and worry about what God has planned for you, but we're not aware. We are not aware. I didn't emphasize that phrase last night. It's popping out at me right now. The Spirit is pleading for us, again, with the inarticulate groanings. I imitated the inarticulate groanings last night. If you missed that, watch yesterday's show, 420, MZTV number 420. Now, he who is, this is Christ, I believe, he who is searching the hearts is aware what is the disposition of the Spirit. For in accord with God is it pleading for the saints. It's an agreement with God, an agreement. That's exactly what happens when you Bluetooth something. You have to find a frequency that's in agreement. If you want to listen to classic rock, you have to tune your radio to a frequency that's in agreement with the signal coming out from the classic rock station. If it's not in agreement with it, you might happen upon country music, and I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to you. So you find the receiver finds the frequency that's in agreement with 103.9, the classic rock station out of Miami. That's how it works. And this is between God and the Spirit. What are you going to do? Outrank? You can't outrank God and the Spirit. You can't outperform God and the Spirit. Because it's God and Christ and the Spirit that is articulating here and communicating perfectly with one another. This is going on inside of you. And it's searching the hearts. I know I mentioned this yesterday, but it's coming to me in a new, magnificent way. Searching the hearts. You have to know your own heart. No, you don't. How can I dig deep enough to know my heart? Well, you must go to counseling. You must go to a psychiatrist, or you must go to a witch doctor. No, I don't, because I have the best team in the business searching my heart, communicating between each other, and it's God, Christ, and the Spirit of God, which is in me. That's my connection. The Spirit of God isn't outside of me. It's in me, and that's the connection that connects with God and Christ. This is so fantastic that unless it's written down, you wouldn't believe it. Who could believe this? This is fantastic. Yet it's written down here for our edification. That's a scripture word. I hate edification. It's in here for our peace, for our relaxation. This is essential to know this in order not to worry. So God in Christ is searching the hearts. God and Christ are aware of what must be, obviously, and they're aware of the disposition of the Spirit, for in accord with God is it pleading for our sakes. In accord. In accord. In accord. Everything in perfect agreement. Some people don't like Apple products. I understand why. It's a big corporation, the evil Apple products, I know, but there's one. I was talked into getting an Apple computer, and as you know, I used to be a Windows guy. I didn't want to learn a new system, but I was told Apple's great. Apple was great. Apple's great. And the complaint people have with Apple is that all the software and hardware is proprietary. In other words, it doesn't work with any other thing. You have to buy Apple. People hate that. Oh my God, I can't just buy a generic thing. I have to buy an Apple product. And boy, Apple sure has the market on it. Well, Jobs, Steve Jobs, I read the biography by guy's name was Isaacson. Last name Isaacson. Steve Jobs biography. He came to a crisis point in his business where he would either have to make Apple products like Windows products in that it would accept any generic plug-in, any generic software. But he knew that because of the readily acceptable input, it was not very picky. You see, Windows computers, they're not very picky. They'll take anything. They're not discriminating. Oh, you got this brand of USB, or you got this brand, you got this, that's fine. You got this brand software, we'll take anything. But because of that, there are a lot of glitches. There are a lot of glitches. The beauty about the proprietary Apple method is that everything fits Apple. That's why there's no glitches. Yeah, it costs extra. Yeah, they have the market on it because you have to buy that Apple accessory for your Apple computer. But it works perfectly because it's made for it. Fits like a glove. Like a glove. I know that because I'm now using a Mac. So, this is what's happening with the Spirit of God and Christ, the Spirit that's in us. It all works perfectly because it's made for it. There's no chance that there's going to be a glitch because it's not a foreign spirit. It's not some weird accessory coming in. The very spirit that comes out of God and Christ is a spirit that dwells in you. That's why it is in accord with God. That's why it works. That's why it's glitch-free. And that's why it's perfect. And that's why you don't have to stand over the pot. You don't have to constantly be checking on it. This is what these people do in Christianity, constantly having to rededicate themselves to Christ, constantly analyzing themselves, constantly worried about what they should pray for. None of this is supposed to happen because you have a proprietary system between God, Christ, and the Spirit of God that makes his home in you. So, we're called according to the purpose that, and here's the purpose, whom he foreknew, God, that is, capital H, whom he, God, foreknew, he designates beforehand also to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him, the Son, to be firstborn among many brethren. This is not just males, it includes females. I'm going to comment on that in a minute. Let me read through it. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies also. Now, whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. This is very clear language, very easy to understand. It's not easy to believe because, again, this stuff is so fantastic. The problem people have, say, with a doctrine like the snatching away, it's not that it's hard to understand. It's easy to understand. Paul uses very plain words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's just so fantastic, so incredible, so unlike anything we've ever known that it's hard to believe. Simple to understand, hard to believe. This is also hard to believe, that God does all these things. Okay, let's go back and I'm going to show you how exclusively this is a work of God. And it doesn't need, it doesn't require, it doesn't even require your participation. And we're launching from a section that we just read that I call the autopilot section of Scripture. The autopilot. The Spirit of God in you knows everything about you. It goes through your body like oxygen, through the blood vessels. It knows you intimately. It knows you more. It knows more about you than you know about you. It knows your DNA. It knows what that old double helix is doing in there. It knows everything. And then it sends the information to God. There's a perfect communication. I keep talking about it. I can't get over it. I can't get over it. It's amazing. It's just, and this thing doesn't need to be recharged. Isn't it frustrating? I know that's definitely a not the moon. Isn't it frustrating? You have to recharge everything. Even when you get one of the Bluetooth things, a little Bluetooth thing goes in your ear, you have to recharge it. Wireless is great. Everybody loves wireless. You have to recharge it. Recharge. Is it plugged in? What's my power? This is not a exhaustible resource, the Spirit of God that's in us, and the communication, the Bluetooth-like communication that it has with God. Doesn't need recharged. The battery doesn't wear out. It's not going to be recalled. And it's basically autopilot. That's why it looks to some people like I'm not in the Spirit, because I don't do necessarily what some would consider spiritual things. I don't talk in a spiritual way, and yet I might not be aware what must be, but what I am aware of is this. I'm aware that this is happening. I'm constantly aware of it, and I've learned to trust it. The circuit's not going to break. The product's not going to break. The communication line's not going to break, so I trust it so thoroughly that I can just, I'm in the Spirit. So I don't understand people who say, I was in the Spirit yesterday. Well, you're not in the Spirit now? Why? I was really praying well yesterday. I don't understand. I don't understand. Because my praying goes on all the time. So I don't get it. It's like the National Day of Prayer, which I've mocked, rightfully so, especially in my book, Martin Sender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer. Taking out a day to pray, one day a year to pray, first Thursday of every May, it's like taking out a day to breathe. I don't understand. I don't understand how you do it. I don't understand how you pray today, don't pray tomorrow. My prayers worked yesterday. Today they don't work because this is constantly going on in me. I trust it. It's happening. My prayers are genius. My praying is exquisitely fine and great. Because the Spirit of God is doing it within me even when I'm not aware of it. What the hell do I know what's going to happen next? I don't. And I'm very fine with that. Who the hell wants to know the day they're going to die? We're not going to die, so it's no problem. So here's the purpose. Whom he foreknew, this goes back to Ephesians, God designates us beforehand for the place of a son. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand. I mean, he knows it's going to happen. It's like an official thing. God knows everything. 1 John 3:20. God knows everything. So if he knows something's going to happen, it has to happen. So, whom he foreknew, whom? These are specific people. We're speaking here now of the body of Christ. Special individuals among the mass of humanity. Remember 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. And we're talking about believers here. And we're believing because he foreknew us. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand. So it's like, it's coming down a notch, but it's good. Watch, like, whom he foreknew, that's like this high thing, right? This high thing. He foreknew us. But it seems kind of, not obtuse, but a little obscure, a little high. Whom he foreknew, it's up in the ether, it's a high thought. God foreknows someone, but now it's coming closer to earth. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand. It's like he's making an announcement in front of the entire celestial realm. This woman who I now have in my mind, who I know is going to exist in the year 1985, let's say, I know her because I'm her creator. So I'm going to designate her beforehand. It's like a stamp. It's like that person, not saying the person exists, not saying that, not at all. The person, we did not pre-exist. Christ pre-existed, but we didn't. So it's like designated beforehand, stamped, marked, owned. In the mind of God, God probably didn't have to do it, but for the sake of the celestial realm, I think there was a time, because God is operating in time here, that this hypothetical woman who will come into the world in 1985 is the one that was designated beforehand. For what purpose? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's what I mean by the body of Christ. We are to be conformed to the image of his son. And it's not just what he looks like, it's who he is. God made humanity in his own image. That doesn't mean we look like God. It's just, for the first thing it means is that God is a subjector and humans became subjectors on the earth. We're intelligent. God is intelligent. We are sentient beings. God is. We are aware of good and evil. God is, of course. So it's not a look-alike thing. You don't look like God. Nobody knows what God looks like. He doesn't look like anything. He's spirit. But talking about Christ here, though, okay, yes, we're talking about Christ, conformed to the image of his son. We're not talking about his son as he appeared on the earth as the lonely Nazarene, the carpenter. No, we're talking about the glorified Christ. For him to be the firstborn among many brethren. You can thank God that Christ was born, came into the world, was known, became a human being, was crucified for our sins, was entombed, and roused the third day. It all happened. It's fact. They discovered a rock that has the name Pontius Pilate. Did you know that? They discovered an artifact that has the name Pontius Pilate on it. This is real. This happened. And I say that because he's the guarantee that the rest of us come in. I've said that to you many times, but it's nice to know that somebody went first and that it's done and it happened. It's historical. It's not like, I hope we're going to be resurrected someday. I hope we're going to be vivified. I hope we're going to be conformed to the image of God and God's Son. Well, it's going to happen because it already happened. It already happened. This is why the Son of God became a human being. So the other human beings can look to him and say, well, it happened to that human being. Exactly right. It happened to that human being. So it's going to happen to us. That's exactly right. To be conformed in the image of his son, for him to be firstborn among many brethren, firstborn among many brethren. The whole world isn't going to become his brothers. This is just exclusive body of Christ truth here. The rest of humanity will be all in all. Of course they will, but this brethren thing is specifically the body of Christ. Not everybody enjoys this designation. Not everyone is in the alive today or that ever lived is designated beforehand for the place of a son. For him to be firstborn among many brethren, now whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Beautiful phrase. I want you to focus on this. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. People ask me all the time, Martin, is it possible for someone to die, for someone to leave this earth who never came to the truths of the body of Christ? Isn't it possible that they're still members of the body of Christ? They were just never called. They never heard the truth. Well, obviously, you already know the answer to that. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. If a person has been designated beforehand for body of Christ, they will be called in this life. They will be called in this life. Guaranteed, because it says that. Whom he designates beforehand, these he might call. Whom he designates beforehand, he might not get around to calling all of them, but they're still in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter that they weren't called. They just, too bad they died young. That was just too bad, you know, they died young. But they would have been members of the body of Christ, so therefore they are members of the body of Christ. That doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this upsets some people. I can see why it would. But whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. So they will hear the call. They will be called. They will be called. If somebody's not called into it before they die, then they're not in the body of Christ. And whom he calls, he justifies. This is now. We are now justified. So this applies to now. We'll be constituted righteous when we're made immortal. But now God declares us to be righteous. This is a prequel to being actually made righteous. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. Four things here. Designated beforehand, called, justified, glorified. Four things. Designated beforehand, called, justified, glorified. Three of these four have already taken place. We've already been designated beforehand, obviously, way before we were born. We've already been called. We picked up the frequency. God gave us a receiver to receive Paul's gospel. We've already been justified. Romans chapter 3 and 4 explains that to us. That is declared to be righteous, not yet constituted righteous, but said to be righteous. We accept that by faith, which is also a gift of God. One beautiful thing remains. One beautiful thing remains here as far as the purpose of God. That is those who are called according to the purpose. This is the purpose. Those who are called according to the purpose are designated beforehand. Because of that, they are called. And when they are called, they find out that they are justified. That is declared righteous by God. Done, done, and done. And now, as sure as you were designated beforehand, and as sure as you were called, and as sure as you understand your justification, and you get that information by faith, just as sure as all that is the surety that you shall be glorified. There's no doubt about it. It has to happen, or God is a liar.